Welcome to Digivantes podcast, where we discuss industry trends and website testing services that improve your digital performance. I'm Amy, a marketing executive for Digivante.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about exploratory testing. From my perspective, I know that it's a sister of functional testing. However, unlike functional testing, it's not scripted and the community of testers are poised to just go out and use their intuition to find bugs or problems on a website. Is that right?
Yeah, that's broadly on the money. So yeah, they're very, very similar in the output from a client's perspective. They get their list of issues, but what we're actually looking at with an exploratory test is you're kind of letting the testers off the leash. It's still structured. They're not looking to do anything that isn't within the scope that's given to us.
Yeah.
But it's if we said functional testing is, for example, testing a specific function of the website, for example, the checkout, and just focusing on that as a function, exploratory testing is actually looking at weird ways of breaking the site potentially. So it might be that if you go backwards and forwards between a couple of pages, it'll trigger a bug. Something that can easily be missed in QA on a development side because it's an unusual user behavior.
Yeah.
But once you're out in the wild with, you know, your tens of thousands of users per month, that's where these weird and wonderful things will start surfacing, and over time they can cost you money.
Yeah. So you mentioned a development site, so it can be launched on development and live?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, you can use it for final QA, if you like, before you push something to live.
Yeah.
To make sure there's nothing in there, any weird and wonderful beasties hiding to be found by your customers. Or it can be used on a live site as part of an effort to improve conversions, for example.
Yeah. I guess the main benefit of this type of testing is because it's so human, it can't be automated. So it literally mimics exactly what users could do on your website and completely covers your entire basis when in partnership with functional testing. Is that why we offer it with our functional testing to all our previous clients?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whilst I would say you can never 100% guarantee you will find everything,
yeah,
when you include exploratory testing as part of the overall testing package, you are greatly increasing your likelihood of finding as much as you can find. Testers are people, your customers are people, and people do weird things, and these weird things can turn up the strangest issues.
Yeah.
It's a good way of identifying that. I mean, one we did have, I won't name names, but we did have a particular client where if you visited their terms and conditions page, which isn't out of the realms of possibility, not everyone does, but some people do. If they visited that page and clicked the back button on the browser, it completely broke their CMS, their content management system. So if you went to go and back to try and buy something, it was missing images, the prices weren't working correctly.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was actually a critical issue.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something you would typically test for as a functional test, because the functional test would only have been looking specifically in that case at the product pages in the checkout. So it would have been missed. It was a huge issue.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked a lot about our community and referenced them quite a lot, but we've never actually talked about who they are and what they do. A lot of companies worry that when they hear either crowdsource testing or community testing, they worry that the testing company has just got some random person off the street to conduct some tests, which isn't true. So what kind of stages do they have to go through to become a tester?
Okay, so depending on the type of testing we're doing, will depend on the level of professionalism that we need for that particular test. The majority of our community are professional testers. It's what they do for a living. Some of them aren't, but we will teach them how to be testers. It's part of what we aim to do. We have tens of thousands of testers in hundreds of countries all over the world. You know, literally every part of the compass, every continent, we've got testers.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. In terms of when they onboard, we will let them sign up and put their devices in. Then they will go through an onboarding process, which is a place where our internal team will actually have them work on a project that is not, you know, it's not a client project, it's something that we've set up.
Yeah.
And they find issues, and we look to assess them at that point to see how good they are, and then we'll make a determination as to whether they can go straight on to test or whether they need further work, and then we'll let them go through an education process, which is self-driven by the person that signed up.
Yeah.
So you know, they have to be motivated to want to be a tester, and we find that buy-in then means when they come out the other side, that they are at a level suitable to test. They're not, you know, just a room full of randoms. in India or the Ukraine or something like that. No, they're actual, you know, good people, and they do good work at the end of the day. And then when it comes to things like, for example, exploratory testing, we will put a mix of testers on. Majority will be professional testers, but some of them will be newer testers that have come out of the education process, because they are less structured in their approach, if that makes sense. A professional tester will have a way of working that they know works for them based on their experience. But these newer testers, they're more raw in their approach, and they're much more like normal users, the type of people that are going to find these really hinky, weird, random bugs in an exploratory test. So it actually is a benefit to have them as part of the mix.
Yeah, so they actually mimic real-life user journeys instead of going through kind of what a more structured and possibly more experienced tester would do. So you're getting more qualitative results from your test. So I guess the benefit of having so many testers who are educated and around the globe means that we can test every day of the year. So weekends, holidays, and because of that, our exploratory test only takes about, well, can take a minimum of 24 hours to complete. So overnight, really.
Yep, we're able to turn things around pretty quickly. I mean, a typical test would be 48 to 72 hours just to ensure we get coverage, because that's the other side of it. It's not just the people, it's making sure that the devices and browsers have been covered off as well.
Yeah.
And we can do 24/7, 365. It's worth saying that, obviously, you look at like Christmas, various New Years, different cultures celebrate different things at different times.
Yeah.
So although we can test, for example, at Christmas, what you'll typically find is we'll run it in such a way where the initial testing will happen in, say, Asia.
Yeah.
Where there's less people, you know, celebrating our New Year and our Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you'll find people coming on from the other part of the globe.
Yeah.
And then that's, so you still get your coverage. You'll just say early results will just be East, example.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Luke.
No problem.